called worship free from condemnation. How many of you know that Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Well, the thing is, why do so many Christians feel condemned? Their prayers aren't being answered. They can't move their mountains. They feel like they're being condemned. And one of the main reasons is that the devil and demons, they are the masters of condemnation. Even though we have a new nature, we still live in what we call earthen vessels. You've been given a body from Adam, and you'll have to drag this thing around until you get your glorified body when we get to heaven. But for right now, you have this treasure, this new nature, this born-again spirit on the inside of you, and it's in an earthen vessel. It's not the treasure that condemns you. God never condemns you. If you ever feel condemnation from anybody, from any test, any challenge, anything, it's not coming from God. There is therefore now no condemnation. So the thing is, the church has got to learn that when you start, how many have ever just woke up and felt condemned? Just had a kind of a condemning feeling all over you. Did you know that's a real spirit? And that thing is trying to get you to do something. He's trying to convince you that God has given up on you. He's trying to convince you that God is not going to help you. And you need to, when you sense that, you need to rebuke that. Mm-hmm. And not just roll over and go, well, I guess I'm going to have a blue Monday. Mm-hmm. No, it's more than that. Amen. The biggest mistake that we make is we replace God's grace with our works. By giving our lives in the wrong places, and then we end up feeling condemned. In other words, you think church attendance is better than spending time with God. You think because you read your Bible so many times a week, that takes the place of spending time with God intimately, and it doesn't. It doesn't. You've got to learn to spend time with God. This is why we do private worship. At the beginning of every meeting, we pray in the Spirit. We demonstrate these disciplines. That is how you commune with God. You've got to commune with God spirit to spirit. There's nothing wrong with reading your Bible, but God can't love you for himself through you. You have to love God for yourself from your own heart. You have to love God. God can't love you for you. And God wants to know that you love him. Amen. And the way he knows that you love him is you tell him. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says this, that we were created, we are his workmanship. Now get this, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Now here's how most Christians hear that. The verse says that we were created unto good works. The good works didn't create us. Did you hear that? We were created unto good works. In other words, you're to become so full of the grace of God that you begin to walk out and perform these good works as a product of that grace. That's how this whole thing is operating from the inside out, not the outside in. I'm not trying to please God. God's already pleased with me. Jesus took care of that. I'm not trying to impress God. He's impressed with me because he's impressed with his son. There's nothing to impress God about. What God wants is fellowship. Amen. That's what he wants. Especially in the midst of your tests. Especially in the midst of your trials. Amen. Now I'm getting wound up, so he's pacing me, so I must be going somewhere. Doing good works can never replace our standing in Christ Jesus that God has given us by grace. Just because you give your offering every Sunday is not enough. That's just the beginning of the thing. God wants your heart. Keep your offering. He wants your heart. Amen. Once he gets your heart, you'll give everything you got. Amen. That's the problem. People come and think, well, I've given him my 10%. God must love me. No, God wants your heart. When you love him as much as he loves you, you'll realize the whole check belongs to him. Think about it. Amen. What he has done for you, you couldn't have done it. There's no amount of money you could have made. You couldn't have made enough money for him to do what he did for you. Amen. So again, it's the grace within you that produces the good works that you do. It's the grace in me that compels me to give him praise. It's the grace in me that compels me to spend time praying in the Spirit. It's the grace that's in me that compels me to not just read his word, but to meditate and imagine it and let it change my life because of the grace of God that's in me. Amen. It's not what I'm trying to do with the grace of God. It's what the grace of God is doing in me. And what comes out of me is a product of all that. Now, if you drove over here tonight just for that, I guarantee you got your money's worth. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The devil does not want us to find out how free God has made us by his grace. The devil does not want you to find out how much God loves you. He doesn't want you to figure that out. He wants you to think that God is the one that's condemning you. The devil wants you to think that he's the one that's not answering your prayers. He wants you to think that God is the one that killed your mother or killed your father or allowed your best friend to die. That's what the devil wants you to believe. He doesn't want you to know that he did it. That's right. Boy, I tell you what, I'm on fire this evening. Glory to God. This is why the devil likes to keep us focused on where we fall short. Our misgivings, our mistakes, our errors. The church spends more time agonizing over its errors and mistakes than anything else. You know why? Because you feel condemned. You have more condemnation working in you than you do the faith of God. Come on, somebody. Faith and condemnation cannot operate in the same place. It just won't work. And we've got to learn to allow the grace of God to begin to overcome our condemnation. Actually, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. We should be resisting any form of condemnation. The best way to walk free from condemnation is to enter into fellowship with God through private worship, because intimate fellowship with God fulfills a very important purpose. So if you want to begin to walk in God's fellowship and walk in God's grace, just start spending time with him. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you adore him. Tell him that you need him. Tell him he's your healer. Tell him he's your provider. Tell him he's the King of Kings. And when he hears you saying those kinds of things, he begins to enter into fellowship with you. Just like when you get on the phone and you and your girlfriends get to talking about whatever. And before you know it, you're in areas that you ain't got no business talking about. Well, if you spend time with God, you'll be talking about areas that would run the devil out of your life. Amen. This kind of fellowship will bring you to the place where you can believe that he has done for us, what he has done for us is real and final. We can then lead the place of private worship, free from all condemnation, full of hope, as we look down the path of God that he has made available for us. The pathway to God that Jesus provided is as definite as anything else. The love of God, the healing of God, the pathway to these things is as definite as the gift itself. Amen. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you can be with me also. We think he's talking about physical dwelling places. He's talking about the place of the firstborn. That's you. You walk in that place just like he did. You walk in dominion. You walk in authority just like he did. That's why this is place. This Bible study is called Dominion Training Center. We're walking in the dominion that he's given us. We're learning to walk in that dominion, because what I have found out in my experience, most Christians have this dominion and don't know how to walk in it. Now, let me give you an example of how the world looks at this dominion. Gloria Copeland got just lambasted yesterday on the news. Here's a woman preaching the gospel. She ain't trying to make the 5 o'clock news, but she's on the 5 o'clock news. You know why she's on the 5 o'clock news? Because she says, Jesus is your flu shot. I said, glory to God. Preach. You put that on TV? Now get this. Those that didn't understand it, they mocked her. But those that understood it said, bless God, he is my flu shot. Glory to God. See, the thing is, you got to understand, they don't hate you. They hate the God behind you.
Amen.
Glory to God. And we got to learn, we can't allow this kind of condemnation to reign upon us and think, well, we said something wrong. No, bless God. Everybody should have called the TV station and said, I'm with Gloria Copeland. Bless God. That's how I believe. That's my faith. And one doctor got on there and he says, I don't think it's good advice telling people that I don't have the flu in the name of God. Now, that's not what she said, but that's what he said. Okay? Trying to mischaracterize her statements.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is this. We can't allow this kind of condemnation, even though it's one of our own. We got to go, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
No,
it's the power of God.
Yes.
I'm not ashamed of what she said. And I can just hear some Christians. I don't believe she's saying that. That's why we get embarrassed all the time. And you'll be the very first one that'll be condemned when your prayers don't get answered. And you'll wonder why. Now, you can be sure the devil is not going to let you reach this place in God without a fight. Once you have decided to spend time in private worship, until you have been set free from certain strongholds, the devil's going to fight you like crazy. So don't think anything is strange is happening to you. When I began to really delve into private worship, all kinds of imaginations begin to come to me. I begin to wonder, can I even preach? Am I even worth listening to? These are the kind of thoughts. I mean, all day long. And then I realized there is therefore no condemnation. Devil, get out of here.
Amen.
Shut up.
Amen.
I got a voice.
Amen.
But when you begin to spend time with God, man, the enemy doesn't want you to spend time with God. See, you think it's because you're being apathetic or lazy or apprehensive. It's because you're being resisted. He doesn't want you to understand that this grace that you have is free and it belongs to you. And there's no condemnation.
Amen.
None.
Amen.
I don't care if you're white, black, pink, or green. There's no condemnation. I don't care if you're redhead, grayhead, blue-haired, or whatever hair. There's no condemnation. And don't let anybody or anything put that on you ever again.
Amen.
But we got to learn how to spend time with God. So when the condemnation comes, we'll realize it's time for me to release the grace of God in my life. Well, how do you release the grace of God in your life? All I can tell you is how Paul taught me. Therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's how I release the grace of God. However you do it, you do it. But let's just make sure it works. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo, I'm not going to finish, but keep doing this. But after you have struggled to stay in private worship for a while, change will begin to come forth, because you will have come to a place of grace that only God can give you. Doesn't mean that the grace isn't there all the time, but all of a sudden you begin to realize, I'm walking in the very grace of God. No, what anyone says doesn't bother me any longer. At first, it'll begin to bother you. People will say bad things about you, and you'll go, oh, well. I was sitting in a meeting one time, and one young man insulted the clothes I wear. I just went, oh, okay. Now, if that had been 5 years ago, oh, it'd have been on. It'd have been on. But I don't care anymore. I could care less. Why? That's condemnation trying to run me down, and I'm not going to allow it to do it. I know why you said the comment. I know what you meant. I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. I understand why they do that. But what they don't understand is they're trying to loose something against you that God has already delivered you from.
Amen.
You see, one day I'm going to talk about the war that goes on that most Christians don't know about. There's a war going on, ladies and gentlemen. I hear Christians all the time tell me, Brother Crane, you think there's a devil behind every corner. There's a devil on every location. Can I shock your world a little bit more? There's devils in here right now. Now, I know some of you religious folks going, oh, blasphemy, oh. They don't stop at the front door and go, oh, 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 that's the Bible study. Oh, this is such and such church. Oh, come on. If they were in Paul's meetings, they're in this meeting. Paul casts them out every time. If they're in D.L. Osborne's meeting, they're in Brother Hagin's meeting, well, how do you know? Because when they begin to preach the gospel and the power of God begin to come, they begin to get upset and start flopping and carrying on because they got to come out. Now, most of the church, well, when you see it happen, you go, oh, oh, oh. You know what you should do? Go, sick them, Holy Ghost. Get all over them. Drive them out of here. But we're going to talk about that unseen war that most Christians have nothing. You think your depression is because you have a chemical imbalance. You think you need some kind of special medication. Everything is happening for a reason. There is a demon that has been loosed on the earth several decades ago. He's called, what I call him, is the mystery devil. And what he does is he brings sickness and disease that doctors just can't figure out a remedy for.
Wow.
The people, now I'm sensitive to this, so don't get me wrong, that suffer with depression. Mm-hmm. You can begin taking depression medication, and after a while it doesn't work any longer.
Right.
Then they got to change their medication again, and again, and again. You know why? Because them devils ain't going, oh, I guess we're out of work now because they got the medicine to stop us. Please. You know the reason why they stop? It's when the Holy Ghost begins to invade a body and says, they said to get out. Now, he knows, the demons know, listen, we may as well leave because when the Holy Spirit comes here, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get real ugly if we don't leave because he don't play. So they go.
Amen.
But now if you tell them to go and they don't go, I'll let you figure that one out. But they go. When the Holy Ghost is involved, they must leave.
Amen.
Glory to God. Okay, let's go on. Hallelujah. Christians often try to substitute something that brings a temporary sense of relief from the war that they're in for the completeness that comes from that can only come from being in God's presence. For instance, here's what a lot of Christians do. You're struggling. You can't get your healing. You can't get whatever you've been believing God for. So you get around people that go, oh, it's all right. God didn't make everybody rich anyway. God didn't heal everybody. Some of us have got to suffer. And then you feel a whole lot better. It makes you feel better. Oh, okay, I'm not by myself now. But let me tell you something. No matter what we do on our own to get relief, it's never going to take away the problem.
Amen.
The only way the problem is going to be relieved is when you realize there is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
The devil knows us very well. The devil has watched born again people of God for 2,000 years. He studied our patterns. He knows the right buttons to push. He knows what works best for each and every one of us. Now, I'm going to say something here that may set your religious apple cart. When you were born into the world, there was assigned to you a guardian angel. When you became a born-again child of God, the devil did not assign a demon to you until he realized you were a threat to his kingdom. If you are preaching the gospel, if you are out getting people discipled, if you're changing people's lives, if you're casting out devils, if you're healing the sick, if you're raising the dead, trust me, you are a threat to his kingdom. And I can promise you there are some demons assigned to you. Now, let me say this. There should be so many people in the world today. There are so many Christians in the world today that we should outnumber demons. But devils can put you on a track. Devils can put you on a track called religion. And as long as you're on a track called religion, they don't worry about you. You can go to church. You can sing in the choir. You can pass buckets. You can do all these things you want to do. But if you ain't changing your life, if you ain't changing the lives around you, they don't care about you. You're no threat to their kingdom. But when you come and start coming to a class like this, and you wonder why, or is all these things beginning to happen in my life, what's going on? It's because you become a threat to the enemy.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. I consider it a privilege to be on his top 10 most wanted list. Now, I may be bragging just a little bit there, okay? I don't think I'm on his top 10 list. But you get the point I'm trying to make.
Amen.
Okay? I'm a threat to his kingdom.
Amen.
All right? I want to show you how to be free and how to remain free. I don't care what I'm going through. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
Why? Because there is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
Has the devil ever pulled this on you? You may say one morning, one evening, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. And I'm going to pray for a half an hour, bless God. Oh, God, I'm going to pray. Pray in them other tongues. And man, you begin to pray in other tongues. And you do it again and again and again. And you did it for a whole couple of weeks. And all of a sudden, you wake up late and you don't pray. You walk outside, your car got four flats. You walk outside, the car won't start. You drive down the freeway, there's traffic 10 miles backed up. Your boss has already written you up three times. You say you're late one more time. He's going to really put you on some kind of suspension. So you get there late. All of a sudden, everything you do that day just falls apart. And you know what the devil says? It's because you missed that day in prayer.
Yeah.
And you know what most of you say? You're right. I'm going to keep saying this until you get it. There is therefore now no condemnation. That ain't coming from God. God is excited when you have a desire in your heart to get up and spend time in prayer. And if you miss that time, God goes, but I saw the desire in your heart. I saw where you intended to. But you didn't take enough precaution. You didn't do enough to prepare yourself to make sure you got up. God loves you.
Amen.
And God's not going to cast you away just because you didn't pray one morning. Listen, if I don't pray ever again,
amen,
in tongues, if I never worship God another day in my life,
mm-hmm,
he will still love me as much as he loves me right now.
Amen. Yes, he will.
He will still do for me everything he said in his word. My prayer doesn't coax God to do things from me. But my fellowship with God, It rids me of the condemnation that the world has placed inside of me when I didn't know what I was doing.
Amen.
See, I ran around every camp. I went to every camp meeting. I went to every Bible study. I went to all of that. Mm-hmm. Some of it was good. Some of it wasn't so good at all. Now, I don't blame them. I blame me. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Ghost in me was telling me, untrue. Well, whenever I began to pray in the Spirit for a long period of time, for whatever reason, I quit watching a lot of Christian television. Well, one day the wife was watching Christian television, so I figured, well, I'll sit down and watch a little bit too. Man, I couldn't sit there 5 minutes and I went, nah, I done had enough of that. Done had enough of that. Man, I have that. What he just said ain't true. Now, some of what he said was true, but a lot of it wasn't true. There was a guy, one time, I read his message. He says, we are just like God. We got a body just like God. We're in God's image. And I went, whoa, I'm done with you. Now, I am in God's image. But when did God ever have a body? God ain't never had a body. Now, Jesus had one, but it's a glorified body now. What I'm saying is this, you got to be able to hear the hints of these subtle misrepresentation. You're made in the image of God, but listen, never call yourself God. Now, I've heard preachers try to tell me, yeah, but you're little God, little G. You didn't leave me out of that. Just leave me out of that. I don't want to start teaching that, you know, I know that I'm God's son and I'm equal to God. But I will never be equal to God in his deity. Now, I can be equal to Jesus in his humanity.
Amen.
But I'll never be equal to God in his deity.
Amen.
And that's just me. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to tell me any. Now, and that's not condemnation. I believe that's fact. But that's not where I'm preaching tonight. So let me go on. Mm-hmm. So the thing is this. It doesn't take long after that situation that you'll miss another time praying in tongues. Mm-hmm. Now you have more condemnation than you have faith. And that's why your prayers don't get answered. Mm-hmm. So you allow people to drag you into their meetings and go, brother, you would be all right, but you listen to brother so-and-so too much. Mm-hmm. And instead of you going, now wait a minute now, let me look at this. Brother so-and-so, what has he preached is not the truth. Well, he preaches the truth. Well, then you ought to go, wait a minute now. Before you say this brother ain't preaching the truth, you need to show me where the error is.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm not going to allow your criticism of this brother to inadvertently bring condemnation on me.
Amen.
I don't need that.
Amen.
It's not that I'm trying to compare myself with someone. But the bottom line is this. I want to stay as far away from condemnation as I possibly can.
Amen.
So be careful with that. Don't allow people to drag you in things and make you feel a certain way just because they say it's wrong. Go look it up in Scripture.
Amen.
Now, you know who the best person to ask? It ain't Pastor Craig. It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When I tried and he didn't answer me, there's therefore now no condemnation. The Bible says, he that asks what? Shall be given. He that knocks shall be open unto him. So my point is this, God's going to answer you. Now the thing is, most of us, I know when I was asking these questions, I had no foundation, I had no walls, and asking for a roof. And God's like, if I bought you a top line roof, where you gonna put it? You don't have a foundation. You don't have any walls. What are you gonna do with a roof? See, you want roof questions answered, and God's going, no, you need foundational questions answered. So the thing is he can tell you the answer, but you end up condemning yourself because you feel that you're not there yet. And it's not that you're not there yet. It's like you giving your keys to a 5-year-old and say, hop in my Corvette, go around the corner and pick me up some milk from the grocery store. He gonna hurt himself.
Amen.
Now he has all the equipment, but he's not mature enough to drive
Amen.
That kind of an automobile. Amen?
Amen.
So the thing is this, we have to grow. How do we grow? Let me be clear about this. Spending time with God.
Amen.
Since we're talking about this, we're talking about private worship. We spend time telling God how much we love him, how much we appreciate him, how much we adore him, how much we need him, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. We begin to thank him. Now, the thing is this. I was talking to a lady this week, and she says, I praise God all the time. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Show me how you praise God. Father, I'll never disappoint you. Father, I'll never shame you. I go, stop. You're worshiping yourself. You ain't worshiping God. I said, now, instead, do this time. You ever been in love?
Yes, Pastor.
You know, all you women, you've been in love.
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. When you was in love with somebody, how'd you talk to him? Did you talk to him out of your head?
Oh, no.
I talked to him out of my heart. Well, talk to God out of your heart.
Amen.
Tell him how much you love him.
Amen.
Tell him how much you adore him.
Amen.
Tell him how much you need him. Tell him everything you would tell that man or that woman that you've been courting. Tell God the same thing, but use the biblical term for it. Okay? Tell God you're in love with him.
Amen.
Man, you've taken my heart. You've taken my breath away, man. I love you more than life. Now, in the beginning, when you start doing that, guess what? To yourself, not to God, but to yourself, you know what you sound like? To yourself, you sound like a con man. You sound like a shyster. Now, if you ain't been in private worship, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've engaged in private worship and you've begun to do it, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. Listen, he thinks I want something. Well, you know what? God, in the back of my mind, God knows I want something. God knows I got a whole bunch of wants. They lined up behind wants. They're probably 10 miles, 20 miles long. I can't even see behind that line. He knows that. But that doesn't matter to him. What matters to him is that you express your love and your appreciation and your fondness for him. It's like this. I've said this several times. It's like the dad that takes his son to the store. And the son says, Dad, I'm going to buy you a Father's Day present. Tomorrow's Father's Day. And I'm going to buy you a present. Give me 20 bucks. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And the son goes over there and he says, Dad, come here. Which one of these ties you like? I like that one, son. He grabs the tie. He goes to the cashier. He hands the guy the tie. And the guy goes, you need about another 30 bucks. He looks at his dad. Dad gets out 30 bucks, gives it to his son. The son proudly gives it to the clerk. Then they go over and get it wrapped all up. Okay, on Father's Day morning, the son, as proud as he can be, he walks out and says, Daddy, I love you so much, I went and got you something. Now, what does the daddy say? What did you get me, son? Like the dad doesn't already know. Now, see, I got you laughing, but the thing is, that's how God is. He's the exact same way. What does that human father want from that son? Fellowship.
Amen.
He spent time with his son that day. They hung out together.
Praise
the Lord. They probably went and got a soda pop or a malt or ice cream or something. They hung out together that day. And that was more precious than getting the tie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's not concerned about what you give him and how much eloquent or how well your speeches are. All God's concerned about is he wants to hear you say you love him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you first start saying that, you're going to call yourself a shyster. You're going to go, he knows I'm trying to con him. But he looks way past that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a message that I'm working on called The Judgment Seat of Christ. The Judgment Seat of Christ. Now, in the judgment seat of Christ, when you get to heaven, now, first of all, if you get to heaven, you made it. You're in, man. Now, you may not have much of a reward, but you're in. In the judgment seat of Christ, Now, I'm going to be a little bit graphic with this. God's going to take a match. He's going to strike it. And he's going to set you on fire. And everything that's not of him is going to burn up. Now, that's a little graphic, but that's really what happens. When you walk in that throne room, everything you thought that you did for God is going to be exposed for selfishness, for what it really is. In other words, you did that Bible study for you. You volunteered the church for you. You didn't do it for me. See, God is not concerned about your works. He's concerned how much you love him.
Amen.
And out of that love comes good works.
Amen.
That's all he cares about. And you'll get a reward based on that. And everybody's running around here trying to have the biggest church, the biggest ministry, trying to raise the 500 people from the dead, 1,000 from the dead, and thinking, when I get to heaven, God is going to be impressed with me. Let me tell you something. The only person God's impressed with sits on his right hand side. And it ain't you. I'm sorry. The only thing God's going to be impressed with is the person that sits on his right hand side, Jesus. That's all he's impressed with. And he's impressed with the fact that you become his son. He's impressed with the fact that you would stop your busy day and you would spend time with him. Let me go on before I lose my time. I'm not going to finish tonight, but I'm going to get as close as I can. Now, contrary to what you think, God loves you every minute that you go out of your way for him. Every time you get up and spend 5 minutes, he's pleased. But now, let me say this. If you've been doing this for 10 years and you're still spending 5 minutes a day with God, Oops, no growth, no maturity. You're not growing. You're just trying to get by. Okay? See, I don't spend 2 hours in worship to impress you. I spend 2 hours in worship because I love him.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen.
And I don't force myself to spend 2 hours. It just happens.
Amen.
Now, I may have to press in a little bit. Because, by the time you get past 45 minutes to an hour, man, your words sound like pancakes. They just float up and come straight back down. And you're thinking, God, are you even listening to me? But contrary to what I think, God is listening to me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't think for a moment that God is so small-minded that he will refuse to move on your behalf in any given situation just because you missed a day or two, a week or so in prayer. He's not small-minded. That's condemnation. Well, this is happening to me because I don't pray in tongues enough. There's no condemnation. No, it's not happening to you because of that. The reason it's happening to you is because the enemy is coming in like a flood and you can't let God raise up a standard on the inside of you.
Amen.
He can't do it. There's nothing in there. You got no walls. You got no ceiling. You barely got half of a foundation. And that ain't made with nothing but gravel. It should be concrete, but yours is still gravel. Don't let the devil condemn you. Why? Because God loves you. God is not penalizing you for what you're not giving him. He is rewarding you for what you are giving him. Let's get this straight, church. God does not cop some attitude because you miss some time and you don't spend the right amount of time with him. No. The reason why God is in fellowship with you on a higher level, because you don't know him that well. That's all. You just don't know him well enough. It's not his fault. You don't know his grace. You don't understand faith. A lot of these things you've read books upon, and you think, I'm an expert. Well, go execute it then.
Go ahead now.
Execute your faith. If it's so good, execute it. You can't.
Amen.
And the reason why you can't is because it's not about you. It's about God.
Amen.
It's about you knowing God and that there is no condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never condemn you.
Amen.
He'll never forsake you. There are times when I start to worship God when there's nothing but dry tongues, dry worship, and dry word. The devil accusingly whispers to my mind, do you really think God is listening to you?
Mm-hmm.
I have developed this kind of attitude that if I've developed this kind of attitude that I don't care if I have a dry tongue, if I have a dry worship,
mm-hmm.
if I got dry praise, I don't care. God is still standing right before me.
Amen. Amen.
I've learned not to measure God by my dry spells.
Amen.
I don't measure God by my lucrative spell.
Amen.
I measure God by his word.
Amen.
I measure God by who he is.
Hallelujah. Yes.
I won't measure God by what you say.
Amen.
Because you're the kind of, you may come and tell me, Pastor Craig. Let me just stop. I'll stop right there. I'm not even going to go there. Forgive me, Lord. I refuse to let those kinds of times determine my relationship
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
See, I've gone in there sometimes and he won't say boo to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I'm just talking to myself. But those are the kind of times, now get this, that he's removing something in me called F-L-E-S-H. And if I'll worship him when I don't hear him, that means I got enough faith to rise above the circumstances
Amen.
That try to come against me when my faith is being tried.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Mm. That wasn't even in my notes. Whew. Goodness gracious. There's just so much here. I don't know what to miss. Praise the Lord. Every believer is already walking with God at some level. You're already walking with God at a certain level. Given fact, he increases this fellowship as he is able to bring permanent change into your life. See, when you get to the point to where everybody around you is talking about the flu, and you come on television and go, Jesus is my flu shot, that's the kind of change he's looking for.
Amen.
That's the kind of change he fellowships in.
Praise the Lord.
That's the change.
Amen.
When everybody's going, I don't know. I don't know why she would say that. She said it because she's changed
Amen.
On the inside.
Amen.
And she knows there is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
If everybody that watches channel, whatever that was on,
Hallelujah.
Is condemning her, she's like, don't make a lick of difference to me because I don't have to receive your condemnation.
Amen.
If he doesn't condemn me, who dare be you?
Amen.
Now, folks, we got to get there. But you got to continue to hear teaching like this.
Amen.
You got to be challenged.
Yes.
Not beat down, not rode hard and put up wet, but challenged.
Amen.
So I pray I'm not being too harsh. I pray I'm challenging you.
Amen.
So if I'm, oh, hey, man, you must have heard that word too, huh? Glory to God. The more time a person spends in God's presence, the greater the change of the level that person's spiritual walk is going to be. This is why the Apostle Paul said, nevertheless, whether to we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing, Philippians 3:16. Now, what Paul was saying is this. He was speaking of apprehending that for which he had been apprehended by Christ. So he said, look, I'm pressing for the high prize, for the high mark of the high calling in Christ, verses 12 and 14. He wasn't referring to his apostolic call. But he was talking about the mortification, the putting to death of his own flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has got to start putting its own flesh to death. Now, I'm going to say something here that's going to probably shock half the world. You don't need an accountability partner. I knew it's going to shock you. Now, you can have one if you want one. But when your accountability partner is home sleeping in bed and the devil starts whispering in your ear to do something ugly, what you going to do, call him up in the middle of the night, him, her up, and wake her up? No. Amen. But when the devil realizes your flesh is alive to him, he's going to reach up and grab a handle and squeeze real hard and make you do something you really don't want to do.
Wow.
Whether you like it or not. You've got to learn how to allow to put your flesh to death. Now, may I help you with that? It's called fellowship. It's called private worship.
Amen.
Praying in the spirit.
Amen.
Meditation by assimilation.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about private worship. It's about spending time with God. Now, I know what most people that don't understand my message, what they'll say. But, Pastor, you got to do more. You can't do more than that.
Amen.
That's the most powerful thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is this, what you're telling me is, I tried that, mm-hmm. but I didn't get any result. It's because the devil said, you think you're going to run me off in private with private worship? Let me show you something.
Mm-hmm.
And he slapped you across the face, and you went, oh, 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 I guess I'm done with that. You think you're the only one that's been there?
Yeah.
Man, I worship God, and the next day I felt like, what is wrong with me? I can't figure anything out. Everybody hates me. Everybody says some kind of wisecrack toward me. I mean, it's like my imagination is running wild. And that's when I learned that ain't nothing but nobody but him. That's the devil. And when I learned and figured it out, I went, no, 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 no. You know what that has caused me to do? You could write bad about me in the front page of the Houston Chronicle. I could care less. I just don't care. You're not the one that I worship every night.
Amen.
You're not there when I give him praise.
Amen.
You're not there. When I have to get a prayer answered, I can't find you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I call you about praying, you're like, no. And then you're going to pray some prayer that ain't even faith and talk about all this and all that. Just bind the thing, glory to God. Don't pray this long, drawn-out prayer trying to impress me with your prayer. Just bind the strong man. Let's get after this thing. That's what I'm looking for. I want some men and women that know how to pull alongside of me and say, Brother Craig, we are right there with you. We guarantee the strong man, he's bound in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Not, we're praying for you. We're praying for you, Pastor. Yeah, I know how you're praying for me. All right. But God is grateful for whatever time you set aside and spend with him. And he'll change you accordingly day by day. When I realized that every time I went in that prayer closet and prayed in tongues, that after over a period of time I went, that doesn't bother me anymore. How did that change? I wasn't quoting scriptures every day. I bind that. I loose that. I rebuke that. No! It just went away. How did it go away? Because the Holy Ghost was inside mortifying and putting to death my flesh. I wasn't running around the church going, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm so spiritual. No, I was in somebody's closet. I was in my closet, Shanda, bread no mona, branana no ke, while you was at home at 5 o'clock in the morning. And you wake up, Pastor Craig must be in prayer right about now. And you go right on back to bed. And yes, I was. But I got rid of some things.
Amen.
And I got rid of him because I spent time with God.
Amen.
I spent time with God privately, and God began to reward me openly.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, folks. It wasn't my idea to start this Bible study. I didn't want a Bible study. I was happy on my own. I didn't want to disciple anybody. I wanted to go out and just get me a second job, make a bunch of money, get everything I want. And he says, come here. That's not why I poured myself into you. I poured myself into you so you could pour yourself into somebody else.
Amen.
Now quit being selfish.
Amen.
Wow, God, man, that's when I learned this saying, God, you ain't fair, man. You hit below the belt. He goes, well, you got to hear this stuff. I want you helping people change.
Amen.
He says, there's so many programs going on in what so-called my church that people don't know what to do. They're running here and fro. They need to hear the truth.
Amen.
And folks, there's no other truth but one. Spend time with God.
Amen.
Now, I got four more pages I can preach, but I ain't going to preach them. Bottom line is this. Here's the whole message in its entirety. Spend time with God.
Amen.
And as you spend time with God, the grace of God will begin to multiply on the inside of you.
Amen.
And that grace will transform itself. It'll transform itself into something called faith.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, you're looking at a problem and you're not going, I don't know. What am I going to do? Oh. No, you go, he gave me authority over you.
Amen.
I remember when I came back. When did I meet you, Cheryl, at the convention? What year was that? 2015?
No,
16. 16? Well, while I was up in that convention that year, when I came home, the hotel told me that we couldn't meet at that hotel any longer. They told me on Tuesday morning. The Bible study is on Wednesday morning. I mean, Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that would have happened years before that,
mm-hmm.
How many of you heard Joyce Meyer this past weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when she told, you were there Wednesday night, she was talking to Dr. Paul, and she said, Dr. Paul, if I was a cusser, I'd just have me a cussing fit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can promise you this. If I had my flesh hadn't died back several years ago, I'd have been a cussing somebody at that guy at that hotel, because he had pulled that room on me 2 days before the time that I was supposed to have the meeting.
Uh-huh.
And when I did that, when that happened, I didn't panic. Something in me wouldn't panic.
Amen.
Now, I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But some says, call Pastor Boyd.
Ooh.
And I'm like, wow. I called him. It was fixed in 5 minutes.
Amen.
We ain't looked back since. I had people say, Pastor Craig, you over in the hood now. They ain't gonna come. I don't care if but one comes, me. If my wife don't come back, that's fine with me. Now you think I'm being quiet about that? I'm not. I didn't start this Bible study to see you come. I started it because he asked me to.
Amen.
And it'll keep going because he asked me to. I don't care if you come or not.
Amen.
Now, I'm glad Robert ain't here because he'll let me talk like that. But that's how I feel. I don't come for you. I don't make my messages to make you come and go, woo, that pastor can preach. No. You're not getting anything? Don't come back. I'm good with that. Like I said, I don't care if it's just me show up. I'll be right up here with this little old bitty iPad or whatever it's called, and I'll preach to them seats.
Amen.
Why? You didn't call me. He did.
Amen.
This is why we don't beg you for an offering.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't call this meeting together. I didn't call it. He did. If he called the meeting, fill the bucket up, man.
Amen.
You put the money in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't my meeting. I didn't ask for this. Now, I have my part to play. I got to pray and I have to believe God and do all those things, bind a strong man and do all those things. But listen, I remember when I started praying, God, give me 100 members in a Bible study. And he says, why do you want 100 members?
Ooh.
Well, we can probably use the revenue and da-da-da. He says, there you go again.
Mm.
Now you're not walking in grace.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking in what you want out of it. And I went, excuse me. Do what you want to do. Just let me know if you want to change anything. And about 2 months later, he said, oh, by the way, about that Bible study. He says, listen, I want you to believe me for X number of dollars a month. I thought it was your Bible study. He said, it is, but it's your faith.
Amen.
This is why you hear me say every now and then, man, if God has to wake up somebody over in Africa, a third world country, and wake them up and say, send that fast-talking black preacher a check for $1,000, I guarantee you they'll sell whatever they make over there, and they'll raise $1,000, and they'll get that check over here. Why? Because when God says move, things will happen. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What did you get anything tonight?
Yeah.
Learn how to release the grace of God in your life through fellowship. I'm not teaching you to fellowship with God because I want to tie up your time. I'm teaching you to spend time with God so you can begin to grow spiritually, and then you can begin to speak to your mountains, and your mountains will do nothing but obey you. There's no shortage of power. There's no shortage of power. When Jesus said, if you can speak to the mountain, it's not the fact that the mountain won't obey you. It's not the fact that God doesn't have enough power to move the mountain. Now, guess what the problem is? You. You know why? Because you have too much condemnation running through you. You believe God won't allow you to move the mountain because you didn't do something just right. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. All God wants from you is to spend more time with you so he can begin to mortify some things that the world put in you. And then that power will begin to flow out of you.
Amen.
Every single time.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we're going to see dead raisins in this little Bible study. I believe we're going to see revival in these prisons that we're going to. I believe we're going to be hooking up with him, Ricardo, and going over the third ward. You're in third ward, right? Fifth ward. And I believe we're going to turn fifth ward upside down. Why? Is it because we're called to? No, it's because we learn how to walk in the power of God. And we know how to release the power of God. We know how to cooperate with the power of God. There's nothing special about it. And if we would be teaching, if we just, can you imagine? If we were teaching on this 20 years ago, where would you be now?
Wow.
Well, forget that. Where will you be in 20 years from now?
Oh, wow.
Huh?
Wow.
Huh? Well, that's what I'm excited about. That's what I'm excited about. Yeah, you the 20 years, I can't change that. But I can change the next 20 ahead of me. I can just see me now, man. I'll be 63 now. I'll be 83 years old, and I'll be up here teaching a Bible study. And you'll be on some other part of town teaching your Bible study. And you'll be on some other part of town teaching your Bible study. 105 years old. Don't look at me like that. 105 years old. And you'll be walking up and down. This is what the pastor taught me a long time ago. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you the same thing. And we'll meet and we'll begin to talk about what was going on in our Bible studies and how the power of God is just flowing. Glory to God. That's what it's all about. It's not about one man. It's not about one person. It's about God flowing through people and allowing his power to change things. When the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it says the elders changed their world. It didn't mean the word world there is not cosmos. It's individual world. It was changed their own world. They shake the world around them. They literally changed the thing.
Amen.
If there was a drought, they brought rain.
Amen.
If there was poverty, they brought wealth. If there was sickness, they brought healing on the land.
Amen.
That's who they were. They changed the world.
Amen.
Now, did they go through testings and trials? You better believe they did, because the devil said, you think you're going to fly through my territory and you ain't going to pay the price? Oh, I'm going to do everything I can to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do everything he can to stop us. But you know what God promised us? That Jesus has already defeated him.
Amen.
Amen. Already defeated him. And the thing is, never think that the devil doesn't have any power. He does. He has power. But he doesn't have power over you.
Amen.
But he has power. If you don't think he has power, go down to MD Anderson Hospital. You'll see it. You'll see it. Okay? Praise the Lord. Well, let me stop. Glory to God. Man, I wish I could have preached the whole thing. It got better and better, man. When I got toward the end, I said, I got to turn this off because I just can't stop. Woo! Does anybody need a healing touch from God?